And on the 29th day, Eve took Adam's hand as they stood blinking in the sun. They looked at the land spread out before them as the wind chased those clouds across the plains. Eve turned to Adam, looked him deep in the eyes and said, "Fuck, that garden was small. Fancy a margarita?" This is the 29th day. The age of gods, gurus, priests and bad mothers is coming to an end. And as we stand on the brink, adult orphans, we could be looking for someone to take their place. Anyone to take away this massive sense of space. But maybe, just maybe, you can notice that little voice saying, "What if I can actually be me now? I wonder who I am. Is there actually anything there at all?" We've killed the gods. We're the gods now. So how do you step into being a god? This podcast exists to explore this. I don't have the answers. You have the answers. So let's go play. Hello and welcome to the podcast, The 29th Day with me, Jessica Summers. Now, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do, what you care about. I maybe have an inkling what worries you. I maybe have an inkling what you're not stepping into, what you're not being that you're truly capable of. But maybe not. But I do know one thing. I have some really urgent information for you. And this information lets you know that all the power is in your hands. So I'm going to tell you how this podcast, The 29th Day, came about. Like, what about the other 28 days? Why the 29th day? Well, I was once asked at a dinner party, "What do you do? What's your thing?" I'd watched this person ask everybody at the table, "What's your thing? What do you love? What are you passionate about?" And various people had answered, "My artwork, my healing." My husband had said, "My rugby." And it came to me and I said, And a moment of clarity came to me. I said, "Do you know what? I think I am my thing. I think a bit like Jill over there has her artwork, I am my artwork. And I change and I add and I recreate myself. And I'm eternally self-reflexive. And we all have that power to create ourselves anew, and never more so than now." And another story I'm going to share with you, which is how the 29th day came about, was that I have been creating my business in a new way. I've been a hypnopsychotherapist for the past 6 years, and I've loved every minute of it. And at the same time, it was as if there were two separate lives. There was the life of me being hypnopsychotherapist, the expert. And it just didn't feel true for me. And there's something called imposter syndrome. I believe that's when somebody is hiding behind their job and they would rather be doing something else, but they're afraid to show up and be that. So I was doing hypnopsychotherapy, and every single minute of my time was also spent going to consciousness conventions, team days, classes, courses. I lived, breathed, and ate it and slept it. And they were running alongside each other. And then in the past year, I've made some really massive choices, which I'm going to tell you about in another episode because it would take too long here. But in a nutshell, I'm now living in Montenegro, a place I hadn't heard of, I'd never been to, and I certainly didn't speak the language, and I still don't speak it very well. But I've been here for the past 7 months based on these big choices. And along with that, I knew I had to do it to step into more of me. I have then begun to create a business that is completely me. And it's neither one thing nor the other. It's neither consciousness nor hypnopsychotherapy. I call it hypnogenics because it's a combination of both of those things. And I decided, despite all of my work, all of my knowing being about letting people know that they have everything they need for whatever they desire, despite all of this, I decided, like a little whisper in my ear, that I was going to go and employ a coach, somebody who worked with all the greats, as she put it, and who could catapult me into a global market. And as I was sat with her, there was a lot that was wrong. There was a lot that just didn't feel right. But it was also like my whole body was shaking. Oh, this woman can actually do what I want her to do. This could be the answer to all of my problems. So straight away, that should have been an alarm bell for me, because I don't have problems. And I'll talk more about that in a little while. And I went away and I thought, why? I had the money. I thought, why is it a problem for me to do this? Why am I so reluctant? And I talked to a couple of friends. One of them reflected the side of me that was like, go for it. And the other one said, but can anybody coach you, Jessica? And I paused and I checked in with myself and I said, no. Because I'm really resistant to somebody else telling me what to do or to do it like them. She said, would you in fact spend 90 minutes and a lot of money each week to resist and fight this coach and all the systems and boxes that she put in place? I said, yes, I know I would. I know you're right. It's not for me. So I sent an email and I said, it's not going to work for me, this. And the next day I thought, great, well, where does that leave me now? That was like the big chance. What do I know about this? I'm back at the beginning again. Now, at that point, this big knowing came in. And it was a choice, but it was a very compelling one. Like, if I hadn't chosen this, I think I would have really struggled, maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe my life would have got harder. So I just knew I had to choose this. Now, I've been toying with doing an exercise program, a 28-day challenge. She's called Courtney Black. She's absolutely amazing. And I'd done it before, and I'd stopped at the 2-week marker. And it was really hard. And I say I'd done it before. I didn't complete all the days. I didn't do it properly. And I'd been thinking about doing this challenge. But really, the way I was approaching it, it would have ended the same way. The way I've done everything in my life and the way most people do something in their lives. The reason that people come to hypnotherapists to have their problems solved. They kind of half do it and then tell themselves they can't do it and look for somebody else to do it for them. It's the way this reality works. But But I knew, and I had such a strong knowing, that I had to not only do this, but to create a challenge on Facebook. And this was the day before the challenge began. And I did a shit graphic. I had no time to promote it, so it was a question of stick it out on Facebook, invite some friends. But I also promised myself I would do it 100%. I just knew this was so important. And what do I mean by 100%? It means that even though maybe nobody was going to see my videos, I was going to turn up and I was going to say what is actually quite, in some ways, a complex concept to convey, that I believe that if we commit to something fully, 100%, no back doors, no escape routes, in my case, show up on Facebook and say, I'm going to do this, you are my witness. If we, and you don't have to do it that way, by the way, but if we commit 100% to something, one, it has to change, because we are being such a force of energy and velocity. It has no choice. It has to change. It's something we've never been in our lives before. So I said it has to change. And I know if we do that, it will. And the other thing was, I just knew that when we commit to one thing, our whole lives will change. That magic is available in every area of our lives. Now, this was a hypothesis. I couldn't really be sure of anything. So what did I have to do to make that choice to do this program? And I called it True Grit. I had to let go of control. I had to let go of being an expert. I had to let go of pretending that I knew anything about this. I had a lot of knowing and a lot of hunches and flashes of what was coming, but I really couldn't know anything for sure. And I felt very nervous. I felt nervous about showing up and doing that challenge every day. It's really physically hard. And the thought of having no choice, it's interesting, isn't it, that I had thought I had no choice. Actually, what I was doing was making a strong choice, but I knew once I committed to it, I wasn't going to back down, or I hoped I wasn't. But if I did, climbing down so publicly. So I'm saying all this to show you what a lot of elements went into committing to this one thing. But the other element of this was I knew this space was available for other people. So there was something new for me. There was a togetherness, a yearning for a kind of togetherness that I've never known, a togetherness with other people. Now, the funny thing about seeing this coach, I met her for some conversations about how we might work together, was she told me that probably I couldn't afford her, and she had a group program. And I said, I don't do group programs. Yeah, I always want to see somebody one-to-one. I don't want to be in a group. And she laughed and she said, yeah, me neither. I don't like group programs. And I realized that I had to be willing to be vulnerable, because surely that's why I can't speak for her, but that's why I don't do group programs. I don't want to share. I'm so different from everybody else. These are the stories that were in my mind. So I don't want to do a group program. So what I was looking for was a different kind of group. A kind of group where nobody pities anybody. Nobody tells anybody. Like gives advice, tells them what to do. But a group where we're all dedicated to the same aim. And although I'm leading, I am not better than anyone else and I'm not the expert. I'm holding a space. That's what I'm being. I am being a leader. And I knew with those elements in place, something had to happen. I also knew that there would be some interesting group dynamics happening. That when you make a commitment in your life, everything that shows up after that moment is relevant. Now imagine timesing that by however many people are in a group. Something that one person changes affects another person. Maybe even more is available for them to choose. So we began. And it was thrilling. And it was hard. And then about 2 weeks in, I became interested in other things. So this, I'm going to bring this to you now. This podcast is aimed, it's for anyone, but it's aimed at a specific group of people. People who find doing what it takes to make something happen in the world quite difficult. To show up regularly when they're overwhelmed by their feelings. To keep their thread when they're constantly losing track of their thoughts. Again, we'll talk more about empaths and how this actually works. And it's not a wrongness, it's just that you require something specifically to help you show up. And what you don't require is somebody being better than you. Because what you do is you cut parts of yourself off to try to fit into their box. Or you just say, I'm having nothing to do with anybody else and anything they have to say, which was a bit my route, because I need to keep my reality. And if we choose either of those ways, we're cutting off masses of resources that we have. The old reality has been, I have this problem, I need to fix it. There's another problem. Oh, I'll fix that. Oh, here's another problem. I'll fix that. And all of this, say you've got a goal you want to achieve. Then you look at all the problems between you and that goal and you go about fixing them. But the thing that nobody is telling you is, if you just commit to the goal, you don't need to solve any problems. They go away by themselves. Not only do they go away by themselves, but new things show up and are uncovered really quickly the minute you commit and begin. So I recorded a version of this podcast yesterday, and that was on the 29th day. I let you into a secret. Today's the 30th day. It's 30 days since the beginning of my challenge. And you know, part of me was like, I don't know whether I'm going to say anything about that. But you know what? I am going to say something about that. Because I did the recording and I was like, oh, that just isn't exactly what I wanted to say. It was this reality. By this reality, I mean the 3D reality that's crumbling away before our very eyes. The reality that says you have to look a certain way, you have to be professional, you have to do it like this. It was that kind of a recording. And I went for a walk feeling really frustrated with myself that I had this concept very clearly inside and I couldn't get it out. And as I went for a walk, I realized it's the process that's so important. We are so obsessed with hiding our workings, making it look effortless, making things look seamless. And that's okay. But it's really important to know things are not seamless and we are not expected to live seamless, plasticized lives. It's vital, this information. And it's funny because as I was on my walk, I realized I'm going to leave it as it is. I'm going to keep that first podcast and then I'm going to create so many more podcasts that express where I'm at. And the more podcasts I do, the better they'll be. And so what if we aim for podcast 10 to be the one that's the perfect expression of us? So why did I change from that stance? The reason is I chose it. I wasn't reacting to the fact that, oh, that recording is so bad. Oh, I need to hide that from the world, which it does come up when you begin something. That recording's so bad, I need to hide it. It came from, I now have the space from which to create because I was willing to show up and I was willing to commit to that first recording. Without that, I could not have recorded this episode. And I'm not cheating, I'm letting you know about that other recording. We really don't need more perfection now. what we need is more. Now, we could say vulnerability here, but to me that has such spiritual connotations. It's also the way vulnerability is being used at present is that there needs to be an audience to see your vulnerability. I happen to think this is this reality's version of vulnerability, a 3D version. Vulnerability means being in, to me, and it could be something totally different for you, but for me it means being in a space of not knowing. A space when you are moving forward and committing to something anyway, but you don't know the outcome and you don't know the results. So you have to trust. You have to let go of control. You have to open to something greater than you. The process maybe, or it may be opening up to your multidimensional self, the self that exists now, right now, but knows more, can perceive more, because that's all really a multidimensional self is. There is a self that's you, that exists, that can see more, that is aware of more and can perceive more. So vulnerability also includes your greatness, your sense of you are a being already existing that knows more and can perceive more. So why is the whole world not choosing to commit to themselves? Because in many ways it's the last thing we want to do. We've decided, we've made loads of decisions about what it will be like if we commit to our lives. Maybe that there'll be more to do. Maybe that we will have to be switched on all the time and it just feels too tiring. We can't ever have an off day. It may be that you're actually going to have to be responsible for what you're choosing. There's no one to blame. There's no system to blame. There's no parents to blame. No gurus, no experts to blame. Only you. But you know, you can choose anything. Anything at all. And you don't have to answer to anyone about your choices. You make a commitment to choose something. Now, let me talk briefly about, because I promised myself these first episodes will be about 20 minutes. So we're going to talk about how you choose something to commit to and what might happen if you do. So I'll give you some examples of what people chose. Now, my example of what I chose, which was an exercise program. If I had chosen it being a person who absolutely loves doing something every day and it gives me a sense of purpose, the exercises were going to be tough, but that sense of achievement I would get from showing up every day would be really satisfying for me. That would be a choice that would not create much more for me. I might get more fit, my body would change, but it wouldn't change my reality, because the thing that would be missing would be that sense of panic, of my heart hammering, my palms sweating, and a feeling of wanting to run away. That's what you're looking for. And you know what that is for you, actually. I had some people who went straight to some quite deep shit, and they chose stuff that were patterns they'd had their whole lives. I didn't help with this process, by the way. These people who took part in the challenge, and it's the same for you, if you choose your own challenges, because you have this power of transformation for your life, you know what you have been distracting yourself away with, even with problems. Even if you've been distracting yourself with problems, which is their main purpose, to be honest, you know what it is that you're not looking at. Okay, I just got a flash then of something I'm not looking at. So this is how we create more, by being in this space and by being vulnerable. So even now I'm getting new information about maybe another direction to go with in the future. Wow, how cool is that? Okay, and then some people picked tasks that were, I'm going to run every day, I'm going to do whatever every day. And then they found that they got a little bit lost. And the question I asked them was, is this truly what you're afraid of committing to? Or is this something that you repeatedly commit to? So what is it for you? What is it for you that you know if you got present with, you would never, ever be able to pretend you couldn't see it? That if you got present with, and that means committing to getting present with, what is it that your whole life would change? And if you want to find out more about this, about how you commit to something, commit to yourself, check out my Facebook page. I'll put my link in the blurb. It's my personal Facebook page, and you can see what some people chose. But for now, it is enough to consider, what could I commit to that I have not been? Something else that came out of this for me was my finances. I was willing to actually sit down and write down absolutely everything and get a true picture of my life. I wanted to get present with the rest of my life, and the sense of power was just phenomenal. The same has happened with my parenting. Everything had a knock-on effect, and I believe the same thing happened for the people in the group who were choosing this 100%. Now, again, if you're fine with your finances and you like seeing where every penny goes, something else may be required for you. It may be that you let go of control. It may be that you spend 28 days not looking at your money. So we're not always committing to good things, inverted commas. What we're committing to is what we've been avoiding being. Could you commit to 28 days of being great? Of not apologizing for you? Of not pretending that you're less than or that you don't know? Because here is where we should be looking inside. When you commit to you, everything you are, even the bad bits, you will have nothing to fear anymore. You won't have problems. You'll just have things you can be present with and then make a choice about. It's different, isn't it? There'll be nothing that you can't do that you're choosing. If you have an urge to do something, I always say that that is sacred. It's like part of your original blueprint. If you follow that, it will lead you right. So what are the dreams you've had to hide? And can you start looking at them now? Can we look at them together and start to ask, how can I make this a reality now? If I know I don't have problems anymore, if I know that I will do whatever it takes to achieve this, to have this as my life, what are those dreams? Get them out, dust them off. See you next time. You've been listening to the 29th Day Podcast with Jessica Summers. Everything I do is designed to create more freedom. Freedom from programming, freedom from attachments, and freedom to be you, the magnificent you. There's so much to support you on my website at www.jessicasummershypnogenics.com. Please explore and use the phenomenal free tool I created just for you called Are You Actually Ready to Be an Empathic Leader Now? There's a bunch of questions to answer, and I'll create your personalized guidance for doing just that, quickly and simply. We need you now. Is it time to step up? And if you've enjoyed the 29th Day Podcast, please review and share. Do your bit to spread the word that we have everything we can possibly need to change the planet and step into all of us right here within us. Be brave, be vulnerable, be as great as you are.